Ladies and gentlemen, ladies and gentlemen, ladies and gentlemen, welcome into Fantasy Football University, FFU, coming at you in week four of the regular season, week four waivers. I am Mr. Bill DeCousis. I'm here with Mr. Tom Lang. Mr. Lang, how you doing, sir?
Oh, I'm doing good. What a wonderful week it was. There was you and I were on the edge of things last night. We did come to the conclusion. I thought from the beginning we were going to take the win. We, you know, just so everybody knew, we were going against Zay Flowers last night, and we were only able to give up 8 points, and it worked out. I thought game script, it actually was going to work out anyway that way. You know, I did make it clear to Billy, so he could say on air that I did feel a certain way about it. I felt it was going to go in our direction. But yeah, now we're 4-2 with a consensus win as well too, and Mr. Cheat Code, who we were talking about live, you know, is in first place, who was sniping us all day long. So
yes, we're happy to catch everybody up for the high stakes league that we shared with everybody, the live draft, etc. And it really was a crazy game last night. It was a crazy slate of games. However many blocked kicks and all this stuff, which we'll get into. But just on the topic of that, it's a weird thing. I think it's a combination of wishful thinking / gut shot. Be like, oh no, Zay Flowers is not going to have a good game in this game, that there's 70,000 points going to be scored, or whatever.
But how many wishful thinking?
But I'm happy it worked out.
Yeah, but how many times have you seen that? Like from Zay Flowers, he just, like, you know, the team does
the disappearing
well.
Act.
Yeah, he just is that guy. I mean, he's just not a part of the, you know, he's just a decoy half the time because of his speed and stuff like that. And it works out in a fantasy element.
Well, thus far this season, up until this game, it like that was like not the case. But again, now we're getting sort towards the roller coaster stuff with Zay Flower, and we have some Ravens to talk about today. So
not to go crazy about it, but everybody knows who's been tuning in since last year. I am not the Zay Flowers guy. I watch that guy play football all the time, and I know this is the reason why I'm not a Zay Flowers guy. He's boom or bust.
Now this is fine, although like to some degree you have to stay water. So if he was going to be remaining consistent for most of the season doing the stuff that he's doing, and it doesn't mean he's still a must start coming up but I
would just say this: he's a must start on somebody else's team.
Okay, well, well, be that as it may, it was still an amazing game. It scored all the points that you thought they was going to be scoring. I mean, Jahmyr Gibbs and David Montgomery were absolute dominators in the game.
Montgomery was super solid.
Yeah, I mean, it was.
He looked so fast too. He looked very, very fast.
They're both so good. The Lions, man, they made a statement that like the last two games, like their offense is so not what it was in week one against Green Bay.
And their defense as well too. Their defense, you know, their defense had 7 sacks. They had a really nice day.
It's a weird thing with Derrick Henry, man. He does have a bit of a fumble thing. As great as he is, that's his one little Achilles heel.
So this year he's fumbled the ball three times in the fourth quarter.
Right.
Every single game. I mean, so that's becoming a trend, and that's not a good trend to have. You know, obviously he is Derrick Henry, but I will say this also. It was a little little nerve wracking seeing him not be able to punch the ball in three out of four times on the goal line. You know, being who he is. I mean, that, you know, props to the Lions defense, but you know, it is tough, you know, especially as being a Henry owner, you know, not seeing that he scores a touchdown in those really, really easy situations for him.
Well, they kind of, I mean, they get into this, and it's, I don't know, I forget if they mentioned it last night, but a lot of times in Ravens games, and even when he used to play, like his running style, he's like a freight train. He's got to get going. But then once he gets going, then it's like, okay, good luck stopping him. So like sometimes some of those short yardage things, like he doesn't get a chance to build up his speed. You know what I'm saying? So maybe it's not his particular strength. It's just a weird thing with him, as amazing as he is. You know,
well, maybe if that's the case, he's got to take about 5 more yards back to start his position. And then basically, you know, it's either a loss of yards or it's just a freight chain of yards.
We need to communicate these things as we coach
Yeah.
these
Mr.
NFL
Harbaugh.
teams.
Mr. Harbaugh.
Mr. Harbaugh. I wanted to do a quick comment on some of these blocked kicks, like just that threw things off. So first of all, the Jets won that almost won them the game. Do you know, like the entire time that I'm watching that guy run the ball back, I'm like, go down at the one, go down at the one, go down at the one. I had no faith they'd be able to stop Baker on the way back, and they didn't. They gave up the
Yeah.
field goal and they lost the game. And the
It was
pack.
it was nice because I do have Baker and he added more points to the board. It was very,
Yeah.
very nice for me.
A couple, like maybe four or five more, whatever,
Yeah,
however many yards or
it's what
whatever.
you need sometimes.
The Packers and the Browns,
Yep.
like I didn't necessarily disagree with you that it was going to be maybe a lower scoring game considering the defenses involved, but for the Browns to win that game,
It
oh my
was
God.
very shocking to see the Browns win that
The
game.
block kick and
But I did say last Thursday's show,
Right.
look at the defenses. Look at the defenses.
Yes, but that doesn't mean it was going to be like
I
whatever
know. I know,
how,
but
what it was.
Cleveland's defense
Sure, it's
after last
legit.
week's, yep, they are legit. I will, backtrack a little bit on their Sunday show, Sunday Live. I did have four key players that are starters on everybody's roster that I would be cautious this week. Two of which were Jordan Love and then Tucker Kraft, and they didn't produce at all. Again, you may have been forced to start them, but again, I still believe, based on their consistency ratio, they are streamers. They're not starters, but based on what they've done this year, you were rolling with them, and hopefully you pivoted a little bit this week.
Well, maybe. Maybe people took that to heart. It was at a weird it was a weird amazing week with that stuff. I some of those games I still can't believe.
Yeah, I mean, Camp Scataboo, man. He's the
Well,
deal,
we're gonna talk about
especially with Tyrone Tracy going down with the shoulder injury. He's the real deal.
we'll talk about him a little bit today. Any other quick thoughts from the weekend here? We're gonna jump right in. We got a lot to get
Yeah,
to.
no, I mean, just outside of everything and in cheat code, yeah, we should move forward.
All right, let's jump into the waivers. We have interesting little, some interesting little, a little change up a little bit with running back. We'll get to it at the end of the running back segment. Let's start with drop candidates. So, top of the list for the new drop candidate. So if anybody didn't see, James Conner went down with a
Yeah.
horrible injury. It sucks because we like him. So he's obviously like whatever it is, 100% owned everywhere. You could let him go. He's done for the season. We'll talk about the Arizona backfield today a little bit, but you could just let him go. And if anybody's still rocking and rolling with Austin Ekeler for some reason, and by the way, I know there's things like keeper leagues, which I don't know how he would possibly be a keeper in IR and stuff. He's done for the season. So, James,
James, I think his career's over too.
yeah,
Meaning Austin Ekeler, I think it's over.
they might be done for the both of
Yeah.
them. Yeah, so you could let them both go. And now we got another name to add to that too. Najee Harris. So he's online. He's done for the season himself. And we'll talk about the Chargers backfield. It's personally for me, I don't like the idea that that's what it takes for certain guys to become like the guy or whatever. It's a weird way of happening, but it's sad. It is what it is. So we'll give you the fantasy analysis of it. So those three guys, IR, done for the season. And then I also wanted to, I wanted to do another, let's say, sit rep on the drop candidates for the Cleveland Browns running back situation. So obviously we'll talk about Judkins a little more today because he's amazing. He really was in the game. So what do you do with the Cleveland Browns backfield? Are any of those other guys worth rostering? Dylan Sampson or Jerome Ford?
Yeah, but again, it's just like kind of like the backfield in Washington, but to a lesser degree,
I agree.
because you know that Christian Judkins is the guy back there. I mean, again, we also did indicate Judkins is not really the best start last week. He did pan out to do well, but you
I was
should have
very
traded.
cautious.
Yeah, but you should have traded for him last week, right? This week, his values skyrocketed.
There's no more buy low, everybody. No more buy low on
No
him.
buy lows on
Remember,
you
that's
know.
one of our league of records.
Yeah.
That'll be fun. That'll be a
Well,
fun victory lap.
the good thing is I have him. Oh, no, you have him in that league.
I do have him in
Yeah.
the league of
Yeah, but I
record,
have him in
yes.
like 40% of other leagues. It's cool.
Well, I agree with what you're saying. You know, it's interesting. I went and I looked at the snap counts for this. So Jerome Ford was the clear backup for Judkins. Now, I don't know if I consider that even a handcuff situation. I don't. Like, I think it's just like Judkins, then the other two, you just let. I don't know how to handle that,
I
really.
think, yeah, maybe you do lean Jerome Ford, because he is a good number two on an offense. He's not a solid, solidified number one. He never was. He was productive sometimes last year when Chubb went down and the year prior. But he is more so a RB2 caliber. And being behind a player that actually can take a 60%, 70% load, his passing downs and his, rushing yards could really be, he could prosper from with the less of activity.
You might be right. Although I still think Samson was talented, so I don't.
No, Samson is talented. He's a rookie, though. I think, they saw what they got with Dylan Samson. I think, how this offense is going to roll is they're just trying to figure it out. I mean, they got one win. They got that win against a team that said they were going undefeated, a couple hours before the game, and that kind of like shoots you in the foot a little bit. That means you were looking past the Cleveland Browns.
Yeah, and honestly,
So,
and watching the game, I don't think the Packers deserve to win that game. It's like it's
no,
just like it, there was no execution for nothing, and the
no.
Packers were a better team. They just got beat, and then forget that block kick. Like it was like to your point, it was like the gods coming in and being like, "Sorry, you don't get this because you don't deserve it," type of thing. It felt
Yeah.
like that. Like it was weird. So in terms of if you want to roster them, I would say if first of all, lots of guys we're about to talk about drop them to pick them up, but. I guess if you absolutely need a roster spot, although like Tommy just mentioned, like I guess it would be Ford. So you judge of it what you think
I
the
think
backfield would be.
Ford is still a relevant player to have on your roster, based on what you saw last week. And last week was a clear-cut direction of where they're going to go, I feel, because they did go against a team that is a Super Bowl contender, and they made an effort to win at home.
We got some two bad matchups coming up though. They're at Detroit and home against Minnesota.
Well, they
The
had a
group.
bad matchup last week.
I know. It's a weird thing. It's a weird thing. You
I don't
guys,
think you really cool. I don't think you really look matchups or something like that.
no. I only bring it up to be like this is one that I legitimately don't know how to handle like that situation. So I might try to keep them, but
Just
maybe if I
to,
got to drop them.
yeah, I mean, if you can't really handle it, just avoid it.
All right. So let's get into some probably owned names. We got some great names here. So like Tommy mentioned, the aforementioned Cam Scattabu. He's basically the guy now with Tyrone going down. Tyrone will be back and Tyrone
Yeah.
will be involved. He's not gonna not, but Cam just looked great, hard-nosed guy. He's doing all the coach stuff where he's making these passing situation blocks that
Yep.
look amazing. And he was explosive. He got the big touchdown. That's the good news. Bad news is he's up against the Chargers this week. So the Chargers have a really great defense, and I don't think that that Russ could have looked any worse this past week. So if the offense itself is not moving down the field, it could be
Well,
bad.
I mean, I there's a lot of chatter that, because also the coach is on the line now. They may have to make the switch. I mean, I think Russell Wilson this week starts, but then Jackson Dart it finds his way in if Russell Wilson can't get it together.
Maybe. Chargers have a great defense though, but
And I think Cam Scattabu, though, is really the match to start the fire. They just need that, second kind of guy on that offense, and Dart might be the guy.
we didn't actually bring this up. We should mention it. So last week in our high stakes league, the one that we at the top of the show we started talking about. So one of the teams dropped Cam Scattabu
Yeah.
before his right before the game last week in week three, like before a little bit of a breakout. So on the waiver wire, everybody was very excited about Cam Scataboo. And so it's a fab league. And so Tommy and I were going back and forth about how much fab to spend on a guy like this. So in my mind, I was just like, okay, we had $500 of fab. So I'm like, all right, for a starting quote unquote, at that point, he didn't have the game that he just had. So it's like, all right, for
Yeah.
basically what we think is gonna, a rookie that's gonna take it over,
Yeah,
blah, 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 blah,
he had
blah.
a 10-point game.
He was still valuable. So like, all right, we should go a little bit over a quarter of our fab, which we eventually settled on 126, thinking that we had a really good shot to get him. We didn't want to break our whole fab budget on it. We got a long season here. So he ended up going to somebody who spent 286, I believe it
Well,
was, something like
you know,
that.
the funny thing is I looked at all the fab and that guy has $22 left in his
I know.
bankroll. So good luck for the rest of the year.
Well, he to his mind he might be fine,
Yeah,
like in
that's
his mind.
true.
And like on honestly, considering what Cam is now is about to be probably for the rest of the year, maybe pretty good. I don't know about 300 or whatever, or if it was close to, but two something, maybe it would have been worth it. So
Yeah.
not a bad investment. Let's move on. We've got Trey Benson, obviously with the Connor injury. So Trey Benson comes in and he becomes the guy now.
Yeah.
It's pretty simple, and Trey Benson is very talented. It's one of the reasons why we said he was a very high value handcuff at the time.
And
So,
this is why, again, this is why you have to play ahead sometimes. You gotta, you not only just get your handcuff, but you clearly get a guy that can really step up and basically be a vital role in an offense. And you just wait for the, you just play it for the long haul.
yep. And if Arizona wasn't just the most frustrating team ever to watch, other than that, but yes,
Yeah.
for Trey Benson.
Kyler literally looks like a little kid running on the field
Don't.
still.
Oh my God, he's the most frustrating guy. So, like we mentioned earlier, too, Quinshon Judkins. If by some miracle he's available in your team, on your league, you go ahead and pick him up. He was great. He's going to continue to be good on a team that like could use him. Yeah, he's going to be good. So roll with
Yeah,
Quinshon.
I think in all competitive leagues he's there. I mean, I think in 10-man leagues, which I don't think a lot of us are in, but I think in 10-man leagues, he's available on the waiver wire. But in 12-plus team leagues, he's definitely gone.
Last name, and probably if Bashal Tutin is still available in your leagues, you just go ahead and like pick him right up. So
Yeah.
obviously he's got handcuff potential, but he's also extremely standalone relevant. He had a great game along with ETN. It seems like Liam Cohen is attempting to mess around with a dual running back strategy. They both got lots of snaps,
Yeah.
and he's super talented himself. He was a highly touted rookie. He's got to be
Yeah.
rostered everywhere.
I mean, like you said, Liam Cohen is doing that kind of strategy. He did that last year with Bucky Irving. It was Rashee White and then basically a transition to Bucky Irving. And it was a split carry situation with a little bit more carries on Bucky's side because of the production. But yeah, I think that's going to be a consistent thing. And all the good thing about that, though, too, is that ETN stays healthy. Right. So,
Right. And it doesn't change. Obviously, if ETN doesn't stay healthy, Tootin becomes amazing. But like, even if it's a dual-headed thing, still lots of value there to be
yeah,
had in Jacksonville.
it's great value.
All right, let's go to the general options here. So, I'm so excited for this. So, I would love expertise from Mr. Tom Lang. I want you to tell me what Washington running backs should be rostered.
All of them.
Every one of them.
I will say this, if you got JCM, which again, he is not the RB1, but if you got JCM, you
He
should
is.
have
He is. He is.
I
If you
mean,
want to say it, the lead guy in a committee, fine.
I'll
I'll
tell you
allow that.
I'll tell you week one started with Chris Rodriguez back there. Chris Rodriguez looked good. JCM didn't get into the until I think it was the third series because McNichols was in there after that.
That's true. That's true.
So, it's a rotation of running backs. And Merritt,
This is a fair point.
JCM Merritt did not, I mean, he had
He
what,
had a nice game.
9 points? Well, guess what? He had 8, 9 points because he tumbled into the end zone for a touchdown. That's it. So Rodriguez and McNichols had the big run. He was, I think,
He looked like a
top
gangster
eight.
on that run.
Yeah. I think he was top eight. I have to look back at it. It was RB8 maybe of the week, McNichols, but it was a lot of it was because of that big run. But Rodriguez looked good. He looked real good running the ball, short yardage.
I thought they all look good, you know? Like, I thought, like,
Well, I mean, when you have a good offensive line, I mean,
yes, which we'll get into
when
offensive
you have a good
lines.
offensive line, I could go back there and look good for like 3 yards.
And when you have a bad offensive line, even the best running back in a long time ever coming out
Well,
of college will look bad. But we're not talking about the
I
Raiders
think,
yet.
well, no, I'm not talking about the Raiders, but we're talking about the Falcons, not the Falcons. Falcons look terrible, by the way. But we were talking about the Ravens a couple minutes ago, and the Ravens, I think, offensive line was a little exposed last night,
A little bit,
a little bit, because honestly, we talk about Derrick Henry, having to be a freight train and have to get some speed up going and stuff like that. But again, if the offensive line was a little bit more durable. And those short yardage elements, like there's no question, he's just in there.
I would say, here's the Washington thing. If you're saying that all three of these guys should be rostered, I would not try to have multiple Washington backs on my team that capture upside a little bit. So maybe you take your shots. However, depends on how deep your league is. Like if you're really starved at running back, probably, you probably could pick up any one of them and do decently well. I agree with Tommy's overall sentiment that I know he feels, which is I'd rather have Rodriguez as like a, hey, you know what? He's probably better. He's probably more likely to have a goal line carry. He's probably more likely to have a touchdown.
The way that this kind of this backfield shapes up, and I said this a couple times on the podcast, JCM unfortunately is going to be the RB1 on that roster, right? But that doesn't mean he's going to be the RB1 on that roster, right? He just might be on the, his status at the depth chart might be RB1. But then after that, RB2 is Chris Rodriguez, because the reason is, the RB3, the handcuff for JCM is McNichols. They're the same kind of style of player. Chris Rodriguez is more of a power back, leg churning, short yardage guy who has speed. He's young. He's 2 years out of, this is his second year, sophomore year. He was healthy scratch the first two games, and he basically ran with a demeanor this past week. The other thing is RB4 on that roster is Donovan Edwards, who was from Michigan last year. He did not look so great at Michigan last year. Michigan was not that good. But Donovan Edwards does have some spark. He is a practice squad player. He got bumped up because of the injury to Eckler. I'd keep an eyeball on him because he's a bigger guy. He could be a threat into that backfield, but again, if there's four running backs moving that ball, I'm staying completely away. Right now, if I want value, because JCM is clearly taken, I'm going Chris Rodriguez all day long.
I agree with you. I agree. And then maybe you could, maybe you could wait and see on the
There
McNichols
is
thing.
a standard or 0 points per reception league that I'm in, and I have Rodriguez and McNichols. I had that since draft day.
Well, it would end up being a nice little stash there. You get and Washington has a nice matchup coming up now against at Atlanta, who looked like the worst team ever this past
Well,
week,
I mean,
unfortunately.
they made the ascending offense from last year we thought was ascending to the most descending offense for the
Penix
week one, week
is going
two.
to have Penix is going to have growing
No,
pains.
I'm talking about the Panthers.
Yes. Well,
To the most to back to ascending from
oh
last
yes.
season.
So sorry, I did it back. Sorry, I did it backwards.
And the Falcons are descending.
Let's go to the next game. So, two names that popped up again, same from last week. They are guys that are just getting bay not 50-50, very close to 50-50 of the work. We'll just quickly. So, Kareem Hunt and Ken Gainwell, both of which should be rostered, not just for handcuff potential, but also because like they just get work and they just keep, getting some solid work in. They're never gonna, especially with the other starter there, they're never gonna have a million points, but they are good enough. They should 100% be rostered. So they're widely available in your leagues. So they're still doing it. For me, anywhere I have Jaylen Warren in two leagues. I 100% made sure I had Ken Gainwell on there. So for perspective. So no, new name on the list, we've got Rico Dowdle, Rico Suave, as we call him. So he's the clear handcuff to Chuba. And when they ask him to play, he looks good.
Yeah,
Now,
he
again,
does.
you saw more of it in a game that was 30 to nothing, Carolina over Atlanta. But let me just read you Carolina's next couple matchups here: New England, Miami, and Dallas. So I'm feeling good about about Carolina running backs and Ollie Gordon. So the Thursday night game between the Dolphins and the Bills, every time Ollie Gordon touched the ball, I got Tommy texted me about it. So
Scored a touchdown.
and he scored the touchdown, which is very good. I don't know if he's going to have that kind of, production every single game in which Achane is still, healthy, but that's the key. How
Well,
healthy will Achane be throughout?
that and honestly, if you got to remember, we did speak about it a couple weeks ago. Raheem Mostert was on that roster, and 2 years ago when they were, I think they scored 36 touchdowns on the ground. Both guys, I mean, Raheem Mostert scored close to 20 touchdowns, and Achane scored in the teens.
Yeah, he had eight. He had
Eight,
eight.
sorry, was in the teens. All right. But anyway, it was valuable that that offense was able to run in a system where you could actually have volume for two running backs.
This is not the same Dolphins, though,
It is
at
not. It
all.
is not. But they still have some key component pieces on that offense that basically should be able to do that, and they're going to have to compete. Because their defense is not that great. They're going to have to put up points to compete. So we'll see.
No.
Mr. McDaniel over there says, unfortunately we got to win the game. We didn't try to lose, but we just didn't win.
I think he gets fired before Dayball, personally. But
I think so
we'll
too.
see.
He's lost complete control of that team.
But I don't know how anybody respected him to begin with. He to me, he's like, I don't know how anybody could follow that. Like, I get it. He knows his X's and O's, but he needs to just be a coordinator, man. Like, it's just, he's not his little quippiness, man. It's just
Well, yeah, it
not
was like with
endearing anymore.
Saleh, I mean, had a really good connection on the Jets, and it's a shame because I thought he was a really good coach.
Yeah, but that's not the
But he's
same thing. See,
no, it's
Saleh, you
not.
don't think has, a
But Saleh,
mental acuity or
well,
something like.
Saleh would basically grab somebody in the neck and throw him against the wall and turn him upside down and
Right.
do crazy things with him. But he is a better he's a great he's a better defensive coordinator, and I agree with you. I will see. I will say if he does get fired, the 49ers might take him back.
They just might. They just might. They get all the 49ers get all the guys back to the Shanahan tree, man.
Yep,
They go
back to
back.
the tree.
So let's quickly move on. We made a little decision about the way that running backs are and the way that the season goes. We wanted to make a point to start sit repping, the different situations across the league, especially the more questionable situations, and identifying where you should own a handcuff, where you shouldn't, how many guys you should own in the backfield. So let's just get some quick rules for everybody to follow. If you're every single starting running back should be rostered, unless you're in some crazy eight or 10, weirdo 10 man league or something. For most leagues, every single starting running back should be rostered. And other than very specific cases, the backup running back for the teams should also be rostered. Depend and hopefully. For the high value handcuffs, you have them on the team. So, real quick, we could just run through a lot of the questionable situations. So, Arizona after the Connor situation, if I am the Benson guy, I'll probably make an effort to try to get D. Mercado. You won't probably won't have to spend any fab or anything
Yeah.
to do that. I think that that's worth it. He's the clear cut handcuff now, and we've
I would
seen,
make sure you have him because he also has some
he
fantasy
has some juice.
relevance.
He has some
Yeah, he has
juice
some
too.
juice, and then also, something happens, or I don't think Benson is the 100% snap in, snap out guy. Passing situations, DeMarcado is going to be that guy. It's kind of
Yeah.
going to be like it's going to be like the Hill situation with Henry on the Ravens.
Atlanta, that you're keeping Algier should be completely rostered. God bless anything if anything that happens to the Bijan guy. The Raven situation is really interesting. We see it as it's going to be a complete committee if Derrick Henry were to ever go down. That having been said, if you want to take your shot on Justice Hill, if you want to take your shot on Keaton Mitchell, that's perfectly fine. But they're likely to completely split the work. We've seen
Yeah.
Keaton Mitchell have explosive, but they haven't,
He
like
was a healthy scratch this week.
he was. So maybe that's not worth an insurance situation. Buffalo, this is what I wanted to get your opinion on. So Ray Davis isn't the handcuff anymore, or was that just some sort of a weird thing? We
I mean,
what happened with that?
Ty Johnson gets his plays. Ray Davis, I think if Cook goes down, Davis is the guy, but Johnson is more of the electric guy. I think that game was scripted a little different. They were not planning to have to be playing back and forth football with the Miami Dolphins, to be honest. So if they were ahead and Cook was out, then Davis would have got a lot more run to preserve James Cook. But Johnson basically was the pass catching down guy.
Wait, let me just tell you, Cook had 40 snaps, Ty Johnson had 15 snaps, Ray Davis had four.
Yeah, like I said, I mean, if they steamrolled ahead and they were up by 20, then you would have seen a lot more Davis.
Okay.
I
So
think
you're saying
the game was more competitive than we thought. And that's why Johnson, he if you watch every single game how they're playing, Ty Johnson is in there in passing down situations, and he's more of an electric, kind of guy that does catch the ball in the backfield. And
You're saying ho hum, it's still Davis.
yeah,
Okay.
I'm not worried about that.
All right. Carolina, we just said Dowdle should be rostered for sure, 100%. Chicago, it's clear that it's Manungai. Now we'll keep an eye on Roschon. Sometimes he's in and out the lineup, but it's clear that it's Manungai. Manungai himself has some juice, so Swift can get injured at the drop of a hat. He's not as bad as Ken Walker, but he's still 100% that there's some opportunity there if Swift were to go down. Cincinnati situation, other than Cincinnati just looking bad in general, if Chase Brown were to go down, it is a complete committee situation with P. Ryan, Brooks, whoever else is going on there. So I wouldn't bother spending any effort trying to keep the backup there. We already talked about the Cleveland situation. You guys make of it what you will, if you're going to go with Ford or whatever it is, or not bother. The Dallas situation, they're having way more success on the ground than we thought. But they've got a bad couple, like now with the CeeDee Lamb thing, and they're going to be playing Green Bay. It might be difficult. That having been said, obviously you've obviously got Javonte. Miles Sanders is valuable. When he's on the field, he's looking okay. And if Javonte were to go down, he's going to be the guy. It is what it is. I don't want to hear a word about blue right now. Not until something like that
No,
changes.
I'm not a Sanders guy.
Neither am I, but I can't deny what I'm seeing in terms of usage and stuff. Denver, obviously, everybody should be playing Dobbins. I feel like you and I were so right about these rookie running back calls. It's the guy who's there before, and these other rookies are just not going to be take over until farther in the year.
Well, yeah, I mean, coaches are going to feel more comfortable with a consistency ratio that they've been doing in the NFL for a period of time, and then once the rookie steps up and earns their spot, then that's when it runs.
It's a Dobbins, so Harvey's the cuff there. Detroit, obviously, you're rostering both of the guys. Green Bay. Jacobs is the guy. Wilson right now is the cuff. This whole business with Marshawn Lloyd, whenever he gets back, I mean, it's a weird thing. So Wilson's the guy, and I think Wilson looks good when he gets the ball. So, and somebody should be. Houston, obviously Nick Chubb is being rostered and rocking and rolling with there. But Houston, first of all, looks awful. First of all, and second of all, we don't know how this thing is going
This
to work out when Mixon comes back.
is why I feel Mixon will be plugged back in. He's going to be coming back probably, I'd say the latest week 8, 9.
Maybe.
They need him. They need him.
I would say until Mixon comes back, I think it's worth rostering Woody Marks as a cuff. He did get a lot more usage this past game. And if it makes you feel better, Houston's playing Tennessee this week. So maybe they'll have a better game against stuff. We'll
Well,
keep an eye
Houston
on.
has the bye, what is it, week 6?
Yes.
So, yeah, I mean, there could be a good opportunity that he comes back week 7.
Indianapolis, Taylor, who's looking like the best back in football.
He is the best back in football.
Giddens is his cuff. It's pretty clear. So you got to get a hold of Giddens, anybody who's a Taylor owner. Jacksonville, we talked about Etienne and Tootin, both got to own them. KC, it's not pretty, but Pacheco and Hunter, both startable assets. You definitely got to have them both. Las Vegas, So I don't know how it's not a committee if it doesn't go down. If Jonty goes down, White, Lauby, Mostert. I mean, how is it not like the most unattractive thing you've ever seen? So I mean, I don't know if I there's not a chance that I have any of those other guys on my team.
Yeah,
And
the
to your
white ex
point,
yeah, the white experience never really worked.
no, it doesn't. And by the way, to your point, like we were just talking about offensive lines, like their O line's awful. Jonty's getting hit. It's not Jonty. Now, pass blocking it is, but he's getting hit 5 yards behind the line of scrimmage every time he gets a handoff. How can he do well with that? So I don't know. It's yeah, you don't need to
Yeah,
roster anybody there.
he got 2.8 yards per carry last past week, I think it was.
So the Chargers, obviously you have Hampton. So here's my question to you. Who's the handcuff to own? I think it's Haskins. Who's the handcuff to own in Los Angeles? I think it's Haskins. He's the one that's been there and wasn't in and out, different stuff. He was getting some work,
I
etc.
mean, Kami Vidal, showed a
Back
little
to
flash last
Vidal
year.
Sassoon now.
Yeah, but I think,
I would go with Haskins. Yeah.
yeah, but I do think that maybe they go back to the free agent well and take back a guy, as
Maybe.
in Gus Edwards, who was on the team last year, and
Yes, that's a good point.
I think he may find his way back to that roster, same coaching system. So there could be a good opportunity for that. Again, he wasn't as productive as he was the year prior, but he did have some productivity on that roster. But again, O'Marron Hampton is a guy. Right now, if you got to pick somebody, I think it's Vidal.
Ugh.
But you're not really, happy about saying that.
LA Rams, obviously, you need to have a Corum as the cuff for
Yeah, he
Kyren.
looks good. Corum looks good running the ball.
Miami, we already highlighted him today. You need to have Gordon. Gordon needs to be rostered. He looked too good. The potential there is too good. Minnesota, first of all, they're both basically co-starters. Jones will come back. He'll still be relevant. Mason looked
Well,
great.
Jones will come. Jones has three more weeks on IR. So
Right.
Mason and Akers. Akers,
Akers could
he's
be a decent, yeah,
yeah. He was on
insurance.
that roster 3 times last year. So.
New England. So it's not pretty, but Stevenson is the starter. Henderson is the, technically speaking, however you want to call that, but it's Steve. The Steve's going to be very involved for most of the year. So both guys should be rostered to the dismay of every Henderson owner. New Orleans. Obviously, you got Kamara. Kendre Miller should be rostered. He's the cuff there. The Jets, you got Breece Hall. Braylon Allen should be rostered as the cuff. Philadelphia, we talked about this a little bit last week. I'm not really sure how to make of this in terms of how you ensure Saquon. The way that I
Well,
think about it is when she.
sorry, can we just backtrack real quick?
Oh, sure.
So Henderson actually was out snap. Sorry, Stevenson was out snapped by Henderson by 10% last week.
Yes, not
And
crazy.
not crazily, but he did have more touches.
Which was different than week two, where Stevenson
Yes.
did looked a lot better. So I don't know. It might just be a lot of that back and forth throughout the year. Philadelphia, yeah, I know you probably still agree with me where it's like, I don't know how we ensure Saquon Barkley. Maybe until Shipley gets back to his full form and we see it in a game. I don't know. Maybe just stay away from the AJ Dillon Tank Bigsby situation. I don't know. I don't even know how you deal with that. So people better hope that Saquon doesn't get injured. Put it that way. All right,
Yeah.
Pittsburgh, we talked about it. Warren and Gainwell should both be rostered. San Francisco, Robinson needs to be rostered. This is getting very, very dangerous with McCaffrey being this healthy for this long. So please don't end up in the injured category with him. Seattle, Ken Walker is looking great and not
Ken
being injured.
Glass.
And a little bit less glass. We'll have to change into plexiglass if he keeps this up. But Charbonnet 100% should be rostered. Charbonnet should be back this week
Yeah.
from his little stint on the injury thing. Tampa Bay.
He was on sabbatical.
So Tampa Bay is interesting. So obviously Irving and White are both like probably should be owned. They all have standalone value. If I'm the Irving owner, I really try to have Sean Tucker on my team. We talked about this. He's super talented, and when Irving's out, Sean Tucker, they make him into like a workhorse back.
Yeah.
Tennessee, Pollard is the guy, but Spears will be coming back. And Spears is one of your favorite guys. So, I mean, there's no reason why, like, they don't turn that into some sort of a 50-50
Well, they
thing. It's
need that. They need him too, because he has a little bit more juice and electricity in the passing game.
And last but not least, and by the way,
Bah.
we won't make this like the longest thing in the world every single week that we do this, by the way. It's just like we wanted to kind of get through this. We'll kind of sit rep this every single week as we do this. And last team on here, Washington, who we already talked about.
Yeah.
So take
We
it
already
what you will.
covered you guys.
Yeah, we wanted to get through that because running backs, the way that they are very, very valuable. So let's jump into wide receivers. All right. Drop candidates here. Jaden Reed somehow is over 50% owned in both major leagues. He's gone for 8 weeks. He's not going to be relevant for your fantasy football season. He might be back for the, you know, like the, you know, the playoffs, having nothing to do with your season. So let it go. You got to get to the playoffs. Cedric Tillman, you could go ahead and drop him. He's 40, 50% in leagues. You don't need the second wide receiver on a bad offense. It's just not. It's not going to work. You don't need it anymore. And just to give you an idea, Detroit, Minnesota, Pittsburgh, the next 3 weeks for Cleveland. Xavier Leggett, no issue. People still have him on your team. Let him go. He's bad and he's injured. I don't know what else you need. Just let him go. The raccoon guy. It's time to make moves. All right. The next two are painful to me. And you tell me if you disagree. So, Marvin Mims, remember what we said about the Denver wide receiver situation. Until a trend emerges, we're not going to react crazily. I'm seeing a trend now. This is the second week in a row he was doubled in snaps by both Sutton and Franklin. He saved his week the other week with a touchdown. He did not with this week. I think it's clear they're rolling with Sutton and Troy Franklin. Am I wrong? Or should people
No,
just,
you're.
I'm right
He's got to
about this?
go. He's
All
got to
right. So
go.
you could drop Marvin Mims. And Jaden Higgins, who I was so high on in the offseason, but I mean, Houston's offensive line is so bad that it's just they don't have any time to do anything. He's on an awful off. He's only has five targets on the year. And Christian Kirk came back, and Christian Kirk looked good. So I think that's it for Jaden Higgins then. People could just let him go.
He's got to go.
Okay. All right. Probably owned wide receivers. We've only got two names here, and probably for good reason. So, in case you didn't know, we got some wide receivers coming back. We got Jordan Addison, about 70, 80% owned in leagues. He's back from his suspension now. And boy, they could use him considering TJ Hawkinson has not been living up to the expectations of the short area targets.
Yeah, he
And
did score a touchdown last week.
he did it, but he doesn't look good.
No.
And we got
He
Chris
looks
Godwin.
like a better version of Travis Kelce, and that's really hard to do.
Oh, that bad, huh? And then we got Chris Godwin. They think he's going to play this week. If he doesn't, he'll 100% be back on week five. And if you know how we feel about Chris Godwin, so if he's a
I think if he plays this week, he's more of a decoy because Mike Evans probably is going to be out by the looks of it.
That's what I was going to mention. Yeah,
Yeah.
like the Mike Evans thing is it adds Mike Evans might end up on IR.
And the other thing with on a different roster, CeeDee Lamb is unlikely to play week four. He has a high ankle sprain.
That's right.
He is potent. He's not. I don't think they're putting him on IR, but they're evaluating him within the next 10 to 14 days. So he potentially could be out 2 weeks.
Well, if that's the case, it makes me feel even better about Godwin. And if he's available, you could go ahead and make your move. Let's go to general options. So top on this list, the number one wide receiver from this past week, somebody that everybody had on all their teams. Trey Tucker from the Las Vegas Raiders,
Yeah.
8 for 9, 145 yards and 3 touchdowns. You can't ignore it, but man, Tommy, this screams to me like a bit of a fluky thing. Am I wrong, or should people make the effort to get him?
So I don't think it's fluky. It's back-to-back weeks. He has 17 targets, 11
That's true.
receptions, 157 yards, and 3 touchdowns. Two rushing attempts, 11 yards. He's 4% owned, like we just said, or less than that. I think that he needs to be rostered. Week one wasn't like that, but trends happen and back-to-back weeks are things, and he looks like what whatchamacallit, the law firm should have been of Jacoby and
Jacoby
Myers.
Myers. right,
Yeah.
who's still involved.
He is, but he, I think Trey Tucker is kind of feeding into what Brock Bowers was seeing last year.
And their next coming matchups are pretty decent too. Chicago, Indianapolis, Tennessee. Well, did
Though Chicago did look fairly decent
better.
last week.
Right, defensively they don't scare me. So, yeah. I mean, and maybe, hey, if you believe in that, take a shot.
Yeah, I think he's a nice target
I
to.
think he might be turning into what we thought Dante Thornton could have been, a more
Now,
explosive kind of thing.
let's just say this though. You don't spend a lot of fab on him. Let somebody else spend a lot of fab on him because, he is not the clear-cut number one on an offense. It could pan out for another week or two kind of thing, and then it kind of dissipates and slows down a little bit because they want to get other people involved.
Let's talk about Tony Horton. So he's got two straight games with a touchdown. So I don't know if this is going to turn into a Nick
Well,
Westbrook Akiny thing.
that was garbage time stuff.
Yes, that's true. But it doesn't, in all honesty, I think he's turning into the number two guy there. It seems like Cooper Kupp is not up to his old, standards or whatever. Keep an eye on it because if Seattle continues to do really well and Darnold continues to keep slinging it the way that he is, and we might have to take an L on, or me, I might have to take an L on that one,
Oh,
having had no faith in
Cooper
them.
Kupp is out targeting him by three, I think it is.
Yeah,
Three targets in the
it's
past
getting
2 weeks.
close though.
It's getting close. But again, Cooper Kupp still has some value. He's not great value, but if you want upside, I'd probably go and grab Horton.
Speaking of upside, let's talk about Elik Iomanner, who up until now we purposely had been talking about. We kind of touched on this in the preview show last week. So he has 18 targets on the season, the last two games with four catches and a touchdown. It's a bad team, but he's getting peppered with targets, and it doesn't seem like Ridley is commanding, the alpha targets, etc. And Elik Iomanner, I mean, he's got a lot of juice. I like the way he plays. He's a physical guy. He's available in a lot of your leagues. You should be able to get it. I mean, he's worth a stash at this point. Obviously, they're on a really bad team. What do you think?
Yeah, no, I think he does deserve a stash, potentially, if you have the roster space for it. If you kind of roll the way that we kind of decided in the drafts on how to basically move and grab some running backs, you kind of load it up on wide receivers after that. So if you have a bottom feeder wide receiver and you want to look for more upside, you kind of rotate some of those guys in.
Tennessee's got some nice matchups coming up, by the way. Defenses that don't scare me. Houston's got a decent defense, but their whole team doesn't scare me. Arizona and Las Vegas, so maybe they could have a nice little uptick. Cam Ward, he's gonna, like we said, he's gonna have his growing pains, but I think he's gonna be a lot better towards the end of the season. The next two names, these were names that we had on there last week, two names that did not pan out this past week, but they still should be on teams. The opportunity there is big. So Romeo Doubs, like we said, with Jaden Reed's situation, they're not going to be playing the Cleveland Browns defense every single week. And oh, look, they're playing Dallas this week. I would you need to have Romeo Doubs in your
I
team.
could see Romeo Doubs scoring a touchdown this week very easily.
I think Doubs and Golden have both have touchdowns. The Dallas defense is bad. And Troy Franklin, like we said, he is still the leader in snaps along with Sutton. He's the clear guy. It didn't work out this past week, but oh, look, they're playing the Cincinnati Bengals this week. So definitely, I think it's worth having on teams.
I got it. Before we move on to tight ends, I have a question for you.
Sure.
I have a trade for candidate
Oh,
that
great.
I would and I want your opinion on this. So there is a player, he's been playing a lot of garbage time and they're going to be playing a lot of garbage time. But Chris Olave has 30 he's leading the league in 37 targets for the year. Week 1 13, week 2 10, week 3 14. The only other player that is in that same category is Puka Nacua. And then after that, you have Malik Nabers, five targets behind that. He's also making do with his targets as well too. He is catching, 70% of his balls. Now the yards are not there for what should be there because they're kind of like little dink and dunks. And he's basically in the past 2 weeks he's only getting 6.9 yards per reception. But One of those can break loose and create a nice slant play that he just basically gets up the field for 80 yards. Do you think Chris Olave is a trade for candidate? A lot of people probably say he's not really productive right now. He's only getting me 10 points, and you could get him for a value. What's your thought?
Probably everybody wants to be hands off on the Saints, even
Yeah.
though they are showing some promise. So you could probably get them real on the low,
Yeah.
in general. I don't have a problem. It depends on what you're giving up for it.
Yeah.
So
I mean, let's
he's
say,
also high on the trade rumors thing, so he may or
and
may not have a complete change in
that's
value.
another thing. That's another thing. I mean, I've been very clear on social media whenever they see show basically Chris Olave getting smacked in the backfield from a bad scripted play. And I always say free Chris Olave. Would you basically trade, let's say, would you trade
Fantasy football therapy.
fantasy football therapy here? Would you trade, give me a second. I'm looking
Well,
down. I'm looking down the list.
while you think of the trade, just for the sake of podcast
Sure.
airtime, let's just quickly mention let's quickly mention drop candidates for tight ends as we move into tight ends now. Because there's no disagreement here. We got the two main names. They were there last week, Colston Loveland and Evan Ingram. They're still well over 50% owned in both leagues. Colston Loveland, not that injured and not that involved, and now he's injured. So you can please move on. And Evan Ingram, he didn't play, and he still looked awful when he did play in the prior game. So you could go ahead and just make moves on that. Sorry, go ahead. What's the trade?
Would you trade Terry McLaurin away for Chris Olave?
That's an interesting turn of events. I think I would. Yes.
I think I would too, based on the targets, and the perspective that he may be finding his way out of there. Terry McLaurin, we knew it was going to be a slower start.
But see, my feeling on it is not to sing Olave's praises. It's more to anti Terry McLaurin, to be honest.
Well, then I ask a question a different way.
Yeah.
I'll ask this question. We'll just keep moving on to tight ends, and
Yeah.
I'll find another prospective player that we could talk about.
All right. In probably owned category, they're still there from last week. I don't know how. We got Dalton Kincaid and Kyle Pitts. Dalton Kincaid at this point is a must start. He's doing it every week. So he's just 5 for 6 and a touchdown. He's a must start. I wouldn't call him the alpha player on that offense, but in an offense where there is no other alphas, he seems to be a big beneficiary of it. So he'll be a must start on our list going forward. And Kyle Pitts, he again wasn't the best game, but he scraped together decent enough. He got you a couple points this past week. He's 15 for 19 targets on the season, 140 yards. And Penix, I mean, you watched it. He's going to have his growing pains. He needs those short area targets during the year. So both of these guys should 100% be on your teams.
I got
All right.
my final question here. All right, Chris Olave, trade for, I mean, trade away. I mean, sorry, trade for Chris Olave and trade away Brian Thomas Jr.
No, that's a bridge too far. I think Brian Thomas Jr. is a trade for candidate, personally.
I don't know. I mean,
You could
it's
probably
look,
buy a buy low on
they're
Brian
moving the
Thomas.
ball a lot in that offense. It's not hyper targeted. And I mean, again, he has 18 targets for 6 receptions and 104 yards. That's a great stat right there.
I think Brian Thomas could be a trade for. We'll see.
Okay.
All right, general options at tight end here. Top of the list, Hunter Henry.
Yeah, you got to have him. He
Jesus.
was fantastic last week.
8 for 11, 90 yards and 2 touchdowns. And also we say this, he's always going to be a viable starter. It's not going to be that good every single week, but you could always put him right. Like every single week, we could have him as a thing. Like, oh, Hunter Henry, you could put him in for this. You might as well just have him on your roster at that point.
Yep.
So Brenton Strange, widely available now, 16 targets on the year, and his last game was pretty nice. He seems to be an important part of the offense, in which Tommy's lamenting the Brian Thomas situation. Chigakonkwo, very available. His targets and the receptions have gone up each week. They're on a bad offense. They need him. He just went 5 for 66 again. In a game in on an offense where you have a young quarterback and they're struggling to make moves, short area targets are their best friend. Let's quickly just do another quick mention of Isaiah Likely. I don't know if it's going to happen this week. You know the deal here. We think he's going to usurp Mark Andrews. That having been said, and Mark Andrews might even get traded. Mark Andrews just finally had a decent game. Obviously, had a very good game this past week. So maybe it takes a while to get it integrated, but we know who Likely is, and he's super talented. You could probably get ahead of the game now. If you don't already have him on your team. And then Cole Kmet. So Loveland's going to be, if Loveland's out, we think he's going to be, Kmet could be a great spot start, especially against the Raiders. Maybe don't try to roster him for longer than that, because then they're going into their bye week. But if you need a spot start, you could do way worse than Cole Kmet this week. Yeah, tons of fun. So do you have any other quick names at tight end? I know tight ends always are, we always love talking about tight ends. Some of the names always end up being funny.
Yeah, I mean, to an extent. So I still think Juwan Johnson is still under-owned. He still needs to be owned.
I have him at over 80 in both. Is it
Okay.
close? Yeah. I mean, hey, if it wasn't clear, if Juwan Johnson's not on your team, get him.
Yeah.
You know.
And the same thing with Jake Ferguson. It's he's pretty much owned, but he needs to be owned universally.
Yep. You ready to move on to streamers?
Yeah. Let's do it.
Welcome to the A stream for all you lovely listeners streaming quarterback and or defense. We'll try to hook you guys up with the best options at quarterback and defense. I'm widely owned in all the major leagues. For anybody who's not interested in playing their current quarterback or defense, like us this week, we may or may not be interested in playing Dak. So we'll look for some different options. That'll be an interesting conversation. So at the quarterback position, every guy that's like widely owned. So we got Stafford, home against the Colts. We've got Lawrence at the San Francisco 49ers, Bryce Young at the New England Patriots. That one could be great. Wentz at Pittsburgh, Darnold at Arizona, Rodgers home against Minnesota, and Flacco is playing like we said. Actually, no, I think I messed this up on his schedule. But of these options, I think I am most interested in Sam Darnold. What do you think?
Yeah, I mean he looks good. I mean he's moving the ball well. Doesn't look like Sam Darnold from last year, but he looks fairly comfortable in the system. So, I think he's a nice streamer opportunity this week.
Is there any other names that you'd be more interested in of these? I mean, Bryce Young at New England. Eh.
Possibly, but Bryce Young doesn't really look great. And you're just basically hoping for a garbage time. If it's a competitive game, I just don't see it being a great spot start. I would say this: if we're talking about over Prescott, I'd
Yeah,
still
that's
play.
probably good for a lot of people, probably making that decision.
I probably still play Prescott over Bryce Young.
Would you play Prescott over every one of these guys?
Sam Darnold probably not, because I would probably play Sam Darnold over Prescott this week. And the reason is because Arizona is still down three cornerbacks. Their secondary is not the greatest right now, so I'd probably still lean Darnold.
Okay. Yeah, and I had it backwards with Flacco. Cleveland is playing Detroit. So I don't know if I'd be interested in that personally, but
No.
I agree. Maybe we could take a look at Darnold this week. He's definitely a good streaming
Yeah,
option.
cheat code. Hopefully you're not watching the show.
On the defensive side, we got a couple good names here. We've got the Chargers, 12% owned. They are at the Giants. Please, 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 please play the Chargers. We got the Bears at the Raiders. We got the Dolphins. We're playing the Jets, and we've got the Jets who are playing the Dolphins. That game could be both very good. I don't see how the Chargers don't finish as the number one defense this week, personally. like you said, if Russ messes up, and he's likely to mess up, even if Dark comes in, they're playing. It's it. The Chargers have an amazing defense, so they could be among the top pickups. And honestly, for anybody listening, just the Dolphins Jets game, if Fields doesn't play, it should be automatic that you play the Dolphins defense. If Fields does play, it's a little bit less, but it's still an option. They have so many issues going on their offense right now, and like we said, for anybody who watched the Dolphins, man. They could get after two in 2 seconds. So
Yep.
these decent options that are available, widely owned. So there we go. That's our week four waivers. We got a big preview show coming up this week. We're so excited for the games, and we're so excited to have you guys with us. Closing thoughts, Mr. Lang?
Yeah, no, we appreciate everybody that takes the time to join us on these podcast shows. We are on all different platforms. Look out for all the shorts, interject with us on your start sits. And we appreciate everybody that joins. If you could please share, subscribe, and yeah, thank you, everybody.
Thank you, everybody.